So what do you want to do now? If you hadn't noticed it before, we don't do those 20-minute services. We do the bigger ones. And we're happy about it too. So, and you know, if you get to the place where you say that I've had enough, well, that's okay. You can slip out, but just don't hold us back. We want more. Go to Romans, the 16th chapter, if you would, please. In praying about this, I believe I'm impressed with the thing that you'll see in this verse here. It's called, what kind of meeting? Greater faith. Faith. And that's something that has been our Phyllis and my ministry from the start. Back 43, whatever years ago it was, 43 or 4, it's been faith. And we had the privilege of, as some of you being around, in my opinion, greatest faith minister in our generation, Brother Hagin. And, you know, you watch what the Lord has allowed you to feed on to learn things about your call. And so that is our call, as with many Rhema grads, is to continue to go and teach God's people faith. Yes, hallelujah. Yes, has anybody seen any of our faith school? That we just finished our 700th message. Wow. Amen. Hallelujah. And our original goal was to do 1,000 and get them in 30, 40 languages. And if you haven't checked it out, check it out. Go to faithschool.org. And there are several languages there now, and we'll be adding to that. There's no charge. There's no commitment required. But the reason I say it is because I feel like the Lord's prepared me for the past 40 years to do that. And He's helping us so much, so much. And, you know, people can mock us about faith if they want to, but I am thrilled with faith. Huh? And God has done so much for us. And I know it's by His grace, by His goodness, but it takes faith to receive it. Right? And so we'll be talking about faith in the Greater Faith Conference. Can you handle it? Will that be okay? Have you already gleaned everything about faith that there is? You know, the Lord reminded me recently that in order to get revelation of the Word, you must hear it and read it like you never have. Or elsewise, you're not open. So, and that takes a choice. You have to remind yourself that there are things here in Mark 11:24. Huh? There just are endless things here that are wonderful that I have not seen yet. Thank God for what we have seen. And it's a big mistake to hear something like you've heard it a bunch of times and already know it. And you can do it without even meaning to. You gotta stir yourself up to say, okay, Lord, that's why we just got through praying. You know, Lord, open our eyes, our ears, our hearts, and to see things, you know, that we haven't seen. In Romans 16 and 25. He said, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. The gospel is it. Do not look for something else to preach. This is it. But healing's part of the gospel. Material provision is part of the gospel. Part of the gospel is that the blessing of Abraham would come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. If you're not preaching about the blessing, you're not preaching the gospel. And if it's not good news, it's not the gospel. Many religious groups have substituted a message of suffering for the gospel. And it is not the gospel. It's about Christ suffering at the cross. And then us suffering following the suffering of Christ. This is not the gospel. This is a religious trick. Jesus is not on the cross tonight. No, he's not. He's not in the grave. Huh? Yeah, we should talk about the cross. Yes, we should thank God for what he did there. We should seek to understand it better and better. But the gospel is what that did for us. What that produced for us. What that resulted for us. Hallelujah. And everything that he got for us through the cross is good news. Good news. And if it's not good news, it's not the gospel. I'm sorry, but it's not. I mean, that's literally what the word means, right? Well, in verse 26 here, I believe it is. He said, "Now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations." Still talking about the gospel. "For the obedience of faith." And that is the title of our series this week. The obedience of faith. Everybody said out loud, the obedience of faith. The obedience of faith. Abraham is held up as an example to us. An example of faith. Walking by faith, walking with God. He's held up as an example of being made righteous by faith apart from works. Exactly what happened with Abraham happens with us. There was no law in his day. There was no law for him to keep. But he was, because he believed on God, he was made righteous. His faith was counted as righteousness. Go to Romans, the 4th chapter. Romans chapter 4 and verse 11. It says, "He," talking about Abraham, "he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe." Is that you? That's you. That's me. You get to call Abraham Papa. And when you see him, you want to hug his neck? Huh? Because it was through his covenant with the Almighty that the Father had a right to give his only begotten Son for us. And he did it. You got to remember, he did it without a Bible. Whew. Abraham's the man. "The father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. Therefore," verse 16, "therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all." Now see, that's three times he's called him our father in faith. And I'm just reading this as a reminder. We are to pay close attention to Abraham and how he lived. And if you want to learn about faith, you want to learn about Abraham. He is held up to us as a father of faith. And so the reason I say that is because the scripture warns us and talks about unfeigned faith. Well, unfeigned means genuine, not phony, not pretend. Well, why would you need to say that? Because there is pretend. There is that which is called faith, and it's not. And to people who don't understand, it looks like faith, it sounds like faith, but it's not. And one of the ways you can tell it's not, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. They said it. They made the motions. They made the confession. They went through the motions and nothing happened. Nothing happened. And people sometimes say we talk about faith failures. I detest that term. Because the faith we have is God's own faith. And it does not fail. Now people do stuff and call it faith. It doesn't work. But the faith of God, like God himself, does not fail. But you learn about real faith by looking at Abraham. Seeing what he did, how he did it, how he heard God, how he responded to God, how he walked with God. Because we're given chapters of his whole life. From coming out of, idol worshiping land and family all the way to the mount of offering up Isaac by faith, believing for the resurrection. I mean, it's all there. So everybody said out loud, Father God,
Father God,
open my eyes. Help me to see the faith of Abraham. How he believed you. How he trusted you. How he walked with you. That I may know real faith. He said three times, he's the father of them that believe. The faith of our father Abraham. He's the father of us all. Now in Galatians 3 it says of a similar thing. Galatians 3:6. It said, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now you'll find this phrase numerous times. You'll find it in the Old Testament. You'll find it several times in the New Testament. What? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Because that's exactly what we do. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham.
Amen.
In case you didn't get it the other four times. Huh? And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached what?
The gospel.
Preached what?
The gospel.
What's the gospel? Help me out.
Good news.
Good news. If it ain't good news,
it's not the gospel.
Preach the gospel to Abraham. Now hold on. The gospel? This is a long time before Jesus ever came. Huh? The gospel existed before Christ came? Yeah. Everything was portrayed and pointing. And those that knew God and walked close to him got glimpses of what was to come. And he said, the gospel that Abraham was preached to him, what was the message? In you shall all nations be blessed. Why? Because Christ came out of him. Hallelujah. And so then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Oh, somebody say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Now, With that in mind, listen to Genesis 22. You don't have to turn there, but Genesis 22, 18. He said, and this is the quote that's been used in the New Testament. This is where the Lord said it. In your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. This is the message of the coming of the Christ and of the blessing. And that is the gospel. Because you have obeyed my voice. That's his faith. Well, come on, can you see this or not? His faith was revealed and shown in his complete obedience. That's why in the New Testament we're still using the phrase, the obedience of faith. Now this is a word the devil hates. Oh, he hates it. Almost as bad as that other word, submission. Woo. Oh, the devil hates it. And if he hates it, what should you think? This is something I need to be on. Right? He hates it. Oh, he hates it. And sadly, he has convinced most of the planet, most of the inhabitants of the planet, that submission and obedience is demeaning. It's demeaning. It's treating you like an underling. It's not showing you the proper respect. And if somebody uses the word about obey, you'll see people bristle and go, obey? Did you say obey? And yet, I said, and yet, why did this happen with Abraham? Because you have obeyed my voice. Somebody say, because he obeyed. Do we want to learn about faith? Well, then faith obeys. Faith in God obeys God. In Genesis 26 and 4. 26:4, he said this to Isaac. He said, I will make your seed to multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give to your seed all these countries, and in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. You hear that same phrase again? He just keeps saying, in you will all the nations of the earth be blessed. That's not the end of the sentence. Because, keep reading. Because why? Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge and my commandments and my statutes and my laws. He did what I told him to do. There was no law, so he's not keeping any law. So why did he do it? He did it because he trusted God. He obeyed God because he trusted God. And he trusted God because he believed God loved him. And his faith worked by his love. And the two big reasons why people don't obey. Fear and pride. And both of those are indications of faithlessness. No trust. No trust. Now go with me, if you would, to James, the second chapter. Somebody said out loud, I'm learning.
I'm learning.
I'm growing.
I'm growing.
In real faith.
Real faith.
Real faith. We want Abraham to recognize that same kind of faith in us. We want the master to recognize. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That same kind of faith. Because it's a measure of the faith of God that never changes, regardless of the generation. And it's in us. But it's our choice whether we listen or don't. The word obey basically means to hear under. In the Old Testament, well, that's the New Testament word, excuse me. To hear under, it involves hearing because you don't know what to do till you hear it. Hearing and heeding. To listen attentively and to heed or conform to the command or authority. Hear it and do it. That's obeying. So you're not going to be successful in obeying if you're not good at hearing. And you're not going to fully obey if you only partially hear. Or, what's more common, you just pick the parts you like that you heard. And you pick and you shoot. Now you're laughing, but this is deadly serious. You heard it, but you thought, I'll do that. But yeah, I don't know about that. I'll do that, but I'm going to put that off for a while. Why would you not do it? Fear and pride, both of which are not trusting Him. Not trusting Him. Not believing in Him. And we've all been there. We've been tempted. But our growing in trusting Him is not something that can't be seen or discerned. The more you trust Him, you'll be like Abraham. Something that just is so impressive to me. When God would tell Abraham something, He would do it now. Which is really smart. Don't give your head any time to talk yourself out of it, right? Don't get the devil a few days to argue with you. Huh? When you understand what the Lord told you to do, and that's also the key to miracles. Isn't that what his mother said to him at the wedding feast of Cana? Whatever he says to you, think about it. Form a committee to study it further. Now you're laughing, but this happens all the time. Huh? No, what?
Do it.
Do it. This is so simple. And yet people's lives have been put on hold, have been destroyed, have enemies had access because of not doing.
That's right.
And the thing is, you don't know what God told other people to do. And a lot of times they won't say it out loud because they don't want to do it. And they're scared to do it, or too proud to do it, whatever the case may be. And so nobody knew that they never did it, but then it cost them down the road. God didn't cost them. But a lack of trust is fear. And fear opens the door to the devil.
Yes, it does.
He's looking for access to steal, kill, and destroy. Where are you in James? James 2. Verse 20. He said, will you know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Now that's King James. And there's been a lot of, I don't know, lack of understanding about this, because when people hear the word works, they tend to associate it with the works of the flesh or the works of the law or the works of keeping the law. And he's not talking about any of that. That's not what he's talking about. Works literally means doing. You could say faith without doing is dead. Faith without doing. And now notice what he goes on to talk about. The very next thing, verse 21, was not what? Abraham, who is?
Our father.
Huh? We're gonna get this. Abraham, our father. Faith. Obey. Not everybody was on that one, but keep coming. Was not Abraham our father justified by doing when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? See how his faith worked with his doing. And by doing, his faith was made perfect and the scripture was fulfilled that said, Abraham believed God and it was imputed to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. So you see how that doing, by doing a man is justified, and not by faith only. Now the word for faith is the word for persuasion or being convinced. It's not just being convinced only that gets you the results. Huh? And here's the big one. Here's the big one. What is it that Abraham did? We're talking about his actions, his doing. What did he do that showed his faith? We've already seen multiple scriptures. He didn't just say, I'm going to show God my faith. What can I do? Yeah, this will show him. Mm-mm. His works was obedience. Oh, y'all with me or not? His works was obedience. Everybody say obedience.
Obedience.
The action that he released his faith by was obeying exactly what the Lord told him to do. Exactly when, where, how the Lord told him. And God looked at it and was pleased and counted him righteous and said, you are my friend. Huh? Now some people may want to say, well, no, but Brother Keith, you know, that's changed under the new covenant. I don't know if you noticed or not, but we started off in the New Testament. Romans is in the New Testament. Is that right? Galatians is in the New Testament. Huh? Go to John. John's in the New Testament. Go to John, the 14th chapter. Hallelujah. Y'all okay? Aren't we blessed to be able to come together like this? Be happy. And nobody's telling us what we can't preach or we can't do or how quick, you know, we got to be finished by a certain time because they got another wild crowd coming in behind us here. No, 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 no. Blessed.
Free.
Glory to God. John 14, verse 21. Jesus said, he that has my commandments and keeps them. That kind of sounds like obeying. He it is that loves me. He that loves me will be loved of my Father. I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Didn't that happen with Abraham? Everything God told him to do, he did it. And God would visit him again and again and talk to him again and again. Was he all through his life progressively learning more about God? But was he also doing what he told him to do? Obeying him. Somebody say obeying. Judas said to him, not Judas Iscariot, but the other Judas. He said, Lord, how is it that you're going to manifest yourself to us, but not to the world? Jesus answered and said, if a man loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He that loves me not keeps not my sayings. Is that still true?
Yes.
Today in 2025?
Yes.
How do we know you love the Lord? You go to church a lot. Huh? You use all the right verbiage. These and thous and hallelujahs. No. Now we're talking about how we know you love the Lord. How you could tell I love the Lord? Jesus said, he that doesn't love me doesn't keep my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. So he talked about, you know, he went on to say, you are my friends if you do what I've commanded you to do. This is 15:14. You are my friends if. Is that true or not? You are my friends if what? If you do what I command you. Now, these days folks don't like that. But I didn't write that. Is it true or not?
It's true.
Huh? You're my friends. Was Abraham the friend of God?
Yes.
What do we know about him? Huh? He believed God. And it was counted to him for righteousness. Huh? He believed the gospel, which was the good news about the blessing. And what else do we know? He obeyed God. Why? Because he believed God. He trusted God. When God said, get out from your country and your kinfolks and go to a place where I will show you, do you know what? He loaded up the truck. Is that right? And he moved. When the Lord said, you know, go here, stay here, he stayed there. When he said, leave, he left. I mean, when he said, circumcise everybody, he did. When he said, offer up your son, he did. There was nothing he wouldn't do that the Lord told him to do. There was nothing too big. Come on, are y'all with me?
Yes,
this is faith.
Yes.
Not the weak stuff that some people talk about. This is faith. This is trusting him. And when it says through his, James talks about through his works, his faith was made perfect. You could substitute the word obedience. Because that's the works that he did. By his obedience, his faith was perfected. And that's absolutely the truth, because there's so many things you don't know, and you're not going to find out until you take the steps that he's told you.
Amen.
And your faith is perfected and developed and growing as you obey. As you obey, and he'll show you something else, and you'll obey, and he'll open a door, and you'll go, Lord, what's in there? What's on the other side? And there will be silence. And if you don't take a step, you will never find out. And so your faith will not develop to the next place and the next level as he obeyed. And if you study his life, everything got bigger and more dear to him and closer to him every step he made. And this is a pattern for our life. He is our Father, and we walk in the same steps of faith that he did. And if you want to go all the way with God, every so often there will be a juncture where you will have to turn loose of your blankie and binky. Is that right? What do you mean? What you're familiar with? What you have grown accustomed to? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Phyllis and I have done it, I don't know, a dozen times now. And I know we're not done. Unless you want to stop. And the Lord will let you stop. But you'll know it in your heart. And what's the problem is it'll be because you didn't trust him. I'm not okay with that. How about you? No. Not okay with that. We trust him. In life, in death, we trust him. Well, somebody say, I trust you, Lord. I trust you, Lord. That's why Abraham is such a tremendous example. Because I mean, without arguing, without hesitation, without delaying, he obeyed. And that was his faith that God counted as righteousness to him. Hallelujah. Oh, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Somebody say, me too, me too. I walk by faith. I walk in the steps of that same faith that Abraham had. Go to Deuteronomy 21. We have not taken disobedience seriously enough. We have made too many allowances for it, too many concessions. But God hasn't changed. He never changes. And He is completely intolerant of disobedience. And He hates pride and rebellion. I'm telling you, have you read the scriptures? He hates it. And you can begin to see why. His creation has repeatedly defied Him and rebelled against Him and refused to listen to Him and believe Him and trust Him. It happened, we don't know what happened prior to the Bible and Genesis and all that, but when it says in the beginning, that's in the beginning of us, of this. God was here a long, long, long time before that. But the angels rebelled. We know that. Human beings rebelled. And for no justifiable reason. God has never lied. He's never deceived. He's never acted out of love. He is love itself. He's never acted in any shade or deception. He is light itself. And so there is no excuse for rebelling against God and disobeying God, and yet most of the planet is doing it right now. Right now. And it's why you and I are the apple of His eye. Huh? Because relatively few of the billions on the planet say, Lord, I trust You, and we have bowed our knee to the Lordship of Jesus, and we have made commitment that we will not betray Him. We will hold to Him. And I'm confident that in the eons to come, we will not betray Him. Because we were here. We saw the results of rebellion. We saw the results of sin and curse and what happened. And we'll get to see after this life the great white throne judgment. We'll get to see what happens with all the beings and all the humans that have rejected God. And it's quite something. There's a reason why the scripture said the Lord's going to wipe away all tears from our eyes. He wouldn't need to do that unless there were some. But thank God we're going past it. But we will never forget how evil rebellion is. How evil choosing to disobey God is. I need to talk about this a little bit more. What happened with Adam and Eve was not a mistake. Are y'all with me? It was so serious. You know it had to be for God to deal with it the way that He did. They knew exactly what God told them to do. I've heard people say, well, no, you know, Eve said, don't touch it. And that's not what the scripture said. Well, you don't know that the Lord never told them not to touch it. He used to commune with them every day. How many think it's a great idea? Leave it alone. Stay away from it. Don't look at it. Don't talk about it. Yeah, don't touch it. Huh? Why? They were crystal clear about the commandment of God. They were not confused. They chose to disobey God. They chose to believe His enemy over Him and reject His headship over them and no longer submit to him and submit to the lies that God's enemy is feeding them. That's why it was so serious. No mistake. Betrayal. They didn't trust him. Now, they didn't know the things that you and I have seen and heard. They didn't even know what it meant to die. Much less curse. Had no concept of death and sin and curse. But they chose not to believe that God had their best interest at heart. They chose not to trust his wisdom. And that is truly stupid. Huh? Because how long have you even been around? And where did you come from? And who made you? And has he ever lied to you or told you anything wrong or led you astray? No, no, never, never, never. And yet, when God's enemy comes, lying. See, what he was trying to do is breathe his rebellious nature into them. He had rebelled against God. And he wants them to come down with him. And he thinks the earth is his. God gave it to men. But they chose to do it. And you can see when Jesus was tempted for those 40 days and 40 nights, similar thing, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time and said, if you'll just bow down. Huh? Just bow down. Now, I can feel some of you getting quite upset with Adam and Eve. But you need to understand, you did the same thing. And so did I. What did they do? They sinned. Have you ever sinned? Don't raise your hand. We know. All have sinned and come short. Well, that's what they did. So you can't say, if I'd have been there, I wouldn't have done it. You've already proven you would. You've already proven you would. But because of the mercy of the Lord, and because of being born again, hallelujah, and because of having now the nature and the love of God shed abroad in our hearts, we have the capacity to have faith and to be faithful. And that is the thing every one of us want to hear past this life. Huh? Well done. What?
Good.
What? What is faithful? Faithful. Faithful means you did what he told you. You obeyed. You trusted him. You kept his instructions. You kept his plan. Now, Deuteronomy 21, are you there? Verse 18. This is the law. He said, if a man has a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not what?
Obey
the voice of his father, and he won't obey the voice of his mother. And that when they have chastened him, he won't hearken to him. He won't listen to him. Even after they've corrected him, he won't listen. Now back up. What is he? Stubborn. And what else?
Rebellious.
Verse 19. Then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out to the elders of the city to the gate of his place. They'll say to the elders of the city, this our son is what?
Stubborn.
And rebellious. He won't obey our voice. Now this is what, the third time we've seen that? He won't obey. He won't listen. He won't obey. He's a glutton. He's a drunkard. They've talked to him. They've tried to get him to listen. He won't listen. So what are we going to do with this man? All the men of the city will stone him with stones that he dies. And you put away evil from among you. And then everybody else will hear and straighten up. Now you're laughing. But this is the law. Is this too extreme? Huh? This is too extreme. See, you don't want to say anything because you know God said. Otherwise, you'd be arguing with me. Huh? Well, no, the man needs help. Why was the law given? It was given because of sin.
Right.
And it was given to show the seriousness of sin.
That's good.
Including the penalties.
Right.
And when God is saying that if a person is stubborn and rebellious and they won't listen to instruction and they won't hear and they won't change, that is a capital offense.
Yes. Yes.
He is showing how bad rebellion and disobedience is. That's what he's showing. And see, our society doesn't see it that way. Now, thank God for mercy and grace. But it doesn't change the fact that God still sees it the same way. He's never changed and he never will. Everything he ever said is right. We have not viewed this as serious as it is. And because of that, the enemy has had a lot of access. Because when you get into disobedience, that's his domain. Right? When you yield to hard-headedness and rebellion, and you won't listen to your elders, and you won't listen to the Bible, and you won't listen to good counsel, now the enemy has access to you. And back then, people couldn't even get born again. And so there needed to be some strong deterrent that, yeah, one life is lost. People say, well, that's too much. Well, no, if a bunch of other people saw it and changed, then lives were saved. But if it wasn't changed and you saw that they got away from God and they went worshiping other gods, I mean, they went off the rails. And then sometimes, you know, half the people were killed in wars and all this kind of famines and plagues and all this other stuff. Even though this sounds so severe, this is actually mercy. God's trying to prevent it from spreading through the whole group and taking out hundreds of thousands. Because that's what the enemy wants to do. He doesn't just want you to cop an attitude. He wants you to separate from everything God joins you to. He wants you to become disrespectful and rebellious and stubborn so he can use you to hurt other people.
That's right. That's right.
Huh? And then he can destroy you in the process too. Disobedience is serious. How much time we got? Go to 1 Samuel 15. I want to take just a few more minutes. Like what Marty said. Anybody give me 5 minutes? And okay, 5, 10, 15, 20. Learn that from Marty. First Samuel 15, and we'll nope. Go to Luke 6, and we will not keep you a lot longer. You said you could come back, right? I don't want to rush this thing in 1 Samuel 15. That's really a lot to get into there. Luke 6, and then we will let you go. And you can go your believing, obedient way. Go ahead, say it out loud. Try it out. Say, I love God.
I love God.
I trust the Lord.
I trust the Lord.
And I obey Him.
And I obey Him.
Amen. I'm an obedient child.
I'm an obedient child.
In Luke 6 and 46. He said, why call ye me Lord, Lord? And what? But you don't do the things that I say. See, it's different from Jesus being Savior or being Lord.
Yes.
And how are you born again?
Confessing as Lord.
Romans 10, 9 and 10. Not confessing Him as Savior.
No, that's right.
He is our Savior. But confessing Him as what?
Lord.
Lord means the Supreme One. The Supreme One. Like Daniel was singing about. He's it. He's everything. King of kings. Lord of lords. Supreme of supremes. And where is our place? To submit simply means to rank or arrange under. And when you submit to Jesus' lordship, you're acknowledging His place above you and over you. Didn't the scripture say, humble yourself
yes.
under the mighty hand of God
yes.
that He may oppress you?
No.
Treat you like a
no.
doormat? No, that He may what?
Exalt.
Lift you, exalt you in due time, His way, His time. But you give Him His place over you and you take your place under Him. That's not demeaning. That's right. That's good. It's safety. Oh, come on, did y'all hear that? It's protection. It's safety underneath His wings. Secret place of the Most High. He said, why call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do the things I say? Whoever comes to me and what?
Hear.
Now, this is the very definition of obedience. We talked about, you'll see it in the concordance, it's hearing, hearkening, attentively, and doing. That's what obedience is, hearing and doing. And whoever comes to me and hears my sayings, and that's not the end of it, he does them. I will show you to whom he is like. He's like a man that built a house, dig deep, laid the foundation on a rock. When the flood rose, and it didn't say if the flood would come. No, when the flood rose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house. So you knew something was going on, but it couldn't shake it because it was founded upon a rock. A lot of people have said, well, the rock is Christ. He is the rock. He is the cornerstone of the building. But that's not what this is talking about.
Yes.
The rock solid foundation is being a doer.
Yep.
Hey. Being obedient. That's what puts you on the solid foundation, is hearing and obeying, doing. He went on to say, but he that hears but doesn't do it. Now, these two folks were in the same conference. They both took notes and even bought the CD or downloaded the...
Yes.
And even went out to dinner and talked about it. Because the difference was not in the hearing. Both of them heard. And they heard the same thing. Hearing only won't protect you. And see, in word and faith circles, we are professional hearers. We are highly developed in hearing. We can hear all 10 messages and then go, that's great. Next, what else you got? With no intention of doing anything with any of it. And if that's the case, that means your house is sitting on shifty sand. And you don't know it when the sun's shining and it's 80 degrees. Everything's fine. Everybody's happy. But when you hear the thunder, uh-oh. Huh? Lightning? Why? Because the only one that's going to make it through the storms are the doers. The folks that believed it enough and trusted God enough. They overcame their fear. They put their pride aside. And they didn't delay. And they didn't argue. And they didn't reason. And they didn't wait. Like Abraham. Oh, come on, help me out. Like Abraham, they obeyed. I'm liking this better and better. How about you? They obeyed. He that hears and does not, he's like a man that without a foundation built his house upon the earth. So he built it. He got it built. And he heard all the good things. But when the stream did beat vehemently, immediately, I mean it lasted no time. Immediately it fell and the ruin of that house was great. What was the problem? Didn't hear enough word?
No.
Wasn't the problem. They didn't do it. And this is the thing that we don't know. We come together, we all sit, we hear, but you don't know what the person beside you in front of you does when they leave. Right. If they do anything with it or if they don't. And that's not for you to judge, but for yourself.
Yeah.
So go ahead and stand up right now. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And let's pray and ask the Lord. Said out loud, Father God, thank you for hearing our prayers, opening our eyes and our ears and our hearts. Help me to realize in any area that I've been a hearer only and not a doer, deceiving my own self. And I pray of your mercies. Remind me again. Show me, Lord, what to do and how to obey and practice it. And by your grace, I purpose to do so. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands and give thanks to the Lord. Give praise to the Lord. Oh, we worship you. We worship you. We worship you.